So we're going to start our time this evening with Lana offering a prayer / meditation. So I'll turn it over to you, Lana. Thank you all for being with us.
Thank you, Uma, and good evening or morning or whatever time it is to everyone else. We are going to receive a gift during this meditation. And to get this gift, I'm going to lead us through a guided journey. And so I want to preface by saying, if you struggle with visualization, that's totally okay. Just let your imagination take over, just like you're being read a book, and just follow along with your awareness. So let's go ahead and close our eyes. Take a big, deep breath. Just really let yourself come fully in to your center right now. Let all distraction fade away as you become even more centered and present. Go ahead and focus your presence, your attention, right in your heart space. You can use your breath and imagine all of your energy just gathering at this focal point here. Good. I want you to see yourself grounded into the earth with a big, long grounding cord. You can imagine maybe there's a stake in the ground or a cord that digs deep into the center of the earth. Just feel yourself grounded in your body on earth right now. Good. Now bringing that awareness back into the center of your heart. I want you to see yourself just shrinking down into your heart space. Getting small and finding a portal, a tunnel deep within the heart. To see it begin to open up in front of you. Go ahead and walk through that portal. And as you walk through, notice there's a pedestal in front of you. This beautiful pedestal in this space that contains a box. Go ahead and approach this and just notice how this room feels. Notice the colors, the smell. Take note of the shape of the box. What is it made of? Is it radiating light? Mine is. Go ahead and open the box. And inside, there's a gift for you. Pull that out and hold it in front of you. Take note of its shape. It doesn't have to make sense. Just whatever is there could be symbolic. Take a whiff. How does it smell? And hold on to this gift. You can hold it up to your ear and ask it, "What do you have to offer me? What gift is mine today?" And listen. Breathe in this gift. Breathe it into your physical body. You can affirm that you allow this gift, that you receive it. And as you affirm, just breathe. Let it move into the body. Let that gift fill into every crack and crevice, into every cell, as it moves in through your breath. When you're ready, in your own time, take a breath and begin to come back more into your body, moving your hands, your toes, and open your eyes.
Thank you, Lana. So beautiful. So tonight we're going to expand on the themes from the last couple of Sundays. And our topic is longing and fulfillment. So think about the word longing. Just let it sink in and feel what that feels like for you. When I think of the word longing, there is no angst there. There is a bit of an aching, but there's a sweetness to it also. It's something that comes from deep, deep within, deep in the soul, deep in the heart, someplace within us that longing springs from. And as I think of longing, I think of home. I think of that reality from which we came, and that there is a part of us that is connected to that, yet in the incarnation of taking a body on earth, we are also separated from that. And that longing has us feeling the preciousness of our source, what is our true nature, the reality that we know to be heaven. And there is something about that longing that drives us towards all that we came here for, what we value most, what we love most. I would say that longing is very common in the human experience, but in a way, it isn't natural because our true nature is fully connected and one with the all that is. And in that oneness, in communion with the divine, there is no longing. But in this now experience, I think longing is necessary. There is something that when we chose to incarnate in this time on earth and bring forth a new age, a new way of being, to live into a new birth for our world, longing allows us to be in the world but not of the world. It allows us to not go into a deep slumber, a deep sleep, and forget who we are and what we're about. The longing calls us to awaken again and again. So I cherish that experience. But I also know that longing wants to be fulfilled, and we do have opportunities for that fulfillment. And I cherish those. Curtis Tyrone Jones said this: "You can't stop dreaming just because the night never seems to end." We have to keep dreaming. We have to keep longing. Fulfillment. When I think about what are the experiences in my life, I went through them and asking myself, what are some of the aspects that has me feeling fulfilled? Part of it is when I'm doing something or being some way or in an experience that relates to my true nature. And I want to share this amazing quote from Sherry Eckert. When I saw this earlier today, it reminded me of that fulfillment comes when our thoughts, our words, and our actions are aligned with our true nature. It's called that one. Be that one who forgives when deep offense has been committed, that one who loves when no one else does, that one who gives kindness to those who are mean. Be that one who looks past the insult, instead seeing the pain that motivated it. that one who shines light upon those who sit in utter darkness. Because the impact of being that one runs far and wide. It brings healing to the wounded, joy to the sad, and hope to those in despair. Be that one. When you think of the things that were spoken of by Sherry in that quote, doesn't that feel like things that will give you a deep sense of fulfillment? Another thing, David spoke of this on Sunday, is bringing our own unique gifts. In other words, purpose. It's about purpose. When we're bringing our unique gifts and when we're celebrating others' unique gifts, we are aligned with the truth of what we're here for, and that each of us has a role and responsibility. And if we're dedicated and committed to our mission together, we know that each of us is to shine in our own way. And when we are bringing what's ours to bring, we are fulfilled. And when we see others do that, we are fulfilled. It is uplifting others that brings fulfillment to us. Another one is deep connection. Those experiences of fulfillment quite often are related to being deeply connected and in communion with others. That's about oneness. It's part of our true nature to live in oneness. And when we are experiencing oneness with another, that's fulfilling. Another one is supporting others. It's natural and accurate and true to who we are to be loving and caring of others. And when we're supporting them, we feel fulfilled. We know that we're making a difference in somebody else's life, and that means a lot to us because we're naturally loving, caring people. And all of that is related to mission in a way. Whether we're aware of our mission or we're not aware of our mission, we all have one, and we share missions with multiple people and multiple groups around the world. And when we're making a difference related to our mission, that's fulfilling. So some of the things that I'm speaking to are maybe larger aspects of fulfillment, which doesn't take away from the importance of the simple fulfillment in each moment, just a shared smile, looking into someone's eyes, the beauty around us and seeing it, acknowledging it, and drinking it in. There's fulfillment in so many different ways. But I just wanted to specifically point to those things about fulfillment that speak to me when I think of the experiences that last and that I recall when I think of fulfillment. Those things that are most meaningful to me about fulfillment. So we're going to do some work about longing and fulfillment in a little while. But first, I'd like to ask Cease to share some thoughts from her about fulfillment. Cease?
Thank you, Uma. I just really appreciate the fact that you asked me to talk about this tonight, Uma. This longing, this fulfillment, this hunger, this thirsting, this theme that we had moving on Sunday has been moving in me, as I'm sure it's moving for many of you. The dictionary defines longing as the strong, persistent desire or craving, especially for something unattainable or distant. I'm not sure about you, but I've had plenty of longing in my life, and I've had my share of fulfillment as well. You know, when I was meditating on this topic this evening, I think it boils down to really being authentic. That is the longing of the heart, and it comes out in so many ways. For me, it was authentic to long for God or to know God. Even as a little child, you've all heard me tell the stories of, you know, I was either walking around with one of those little red Bibles, going to be a missionary, I had a guitar and I was going to be Elvis, you know, we've heard that story. And it's kind of funny because the longing in life. I remember as a child, you know, David points to in primal spirituality that we're never more spiritual than the day we were born. The truth is we came directly from the invisible realm. We were fully encoded with our gifts, our mission, our purpose, a heart that is free and open to love. That's how we came in. And for me, there's always that longing. I mean, I can remember having longing as a child for that, because especially when you're a kid, you kind of remember a little bit more that. And we haven't been domesticated yet as a child, you know, how in the Four Agreements they talk about, you know, being domesticated. And isn't that true? I mean, I longed, you know, to be a musician and to be a rock star. And everyone around me was like, no, you can't have that. That's what you do for a hobby. You have to get a job, you got to pay the bills, you know. So, you know, when we come into this world, we are already endowed with all of the gifts. And somehow in this experience of life, in the human experience, that kind of, we get layers of doubt and fear and illusion, really, put over that truth of who we are, the authentic self. And I think for me, I can speak to longing as that, as like wanting to be that I was created to be. You know, so my life in that longing and fulfillment process, I've definitely found from my own experience that the deeper my relationship with God, the deeper the relationship with myself. The more courageous I am to take off those layers of limitation and move into an experience that expands me and makes me more authentic to who I've really come here to be. You know, and I think all of us can relate to this in the longing for the divine, however it comes out in you, you know, dealing with all the ideas of God. Well, that's a big one to overcome. Right? All the things that we're told about the divine and, you know, the old guy with the beard up in the sky that's judging us, you know, we can all relate to that. So we have all this to overcome in this human experience. And part of the longing too is for self-acceptance and self-love, because in that we're then able to love more fully our world. So that's a little bit of how longing is played out for me. I know another big thing in my life, you know, as far as being authentic, was just in being able to come out of the closet, to try to make peace with what everyone was telling me about God and what gay people, what was going to happen to us, and what I was felt like was my authentic self. So the longing, something so distant, you know, in that definition, it's like something that seems out of reach. But I have found in my experience that fulfillment has come along the way, but it's a journey, right? Because it's all about letting go of those layers and really allowing our true authentic self to emerge. The love that we were meant to express in this world to emerge, the gifts that we have, that we were meant to give to our world, are given. That's fulfillment. That's as we starting to move into fulfillment. And for me, in that experience, is all about, again, as those layers comes off, there's a deeper sense of fulfillment. And I don't know about you, but there are times, even though I have my relationship with the divine, and for me, fulfillment is really about giving my gifts. Like if I'm giving my gifts really to the degree that I know I'm capable of, then I feel fulfilled. It's when I succumb to those old patterns of doubt or fear or distraction. I'm gonna jump back to longing for a second here. You know, when we talk about distraction and longing, isn't that in craving, you know, if we're not fulfilling ourselves, if we're not fulfilling our mission and being ourselves, that craving, that desire, that lust for that true expression gets sideways. And that's how it comes out as addiction. Addiction to all kinds of things. That's a craving. So we're trying to fill the craving with things outside of ourselves. So I wanted to share with you this evening. Let me give you the definition of fulfillment too, because I actually shared the definition of longing. The act or state of fulfilling is to witness the fulfillment of a dream, to achieve fulfillment of one's hopes, the state or quality of being fulfilled, completion, realization. For me, the most prevalent word in all of that is realization. Realizing that we are part of an infinite and eternal life. Realizing that we were brought here to shine and to be our true self. The realization that as those layers come off, and the limitations go away, that fire begins to burn more intensely, more brightly. And I know that if it works that way for me, it works that way for each of us, right? And so I think the path to fulfillment is really knowing yourself, loving yourself, allowing yourself to be dedicated to that connection to God, to the all that is, to the people around you. That to me is fulfillment. I found a little piece. It was on some obscure, it was actually a Christian blog, but I want to share this little piece to end things off here from was a quote from John Calvin, and he was a French theologian from the 1500s. He argued that one could not truly know God without knowing oneself, and that one couldn't truly know oneself without knowing God. Which one proceeds and brings forth the other is not easy to discern. Thank you for letting me share.
Wonderful. Thank you, Cece. So beautiful. So we're going to get into, we call it listening pairs, but might end up being two people and it might end up being three people in your group. So Jim's going to put us into those groups, but I'll just mention, please be aware of timing so that everyone has a chance to share. If there are two people, you'll have approximately 4 minutes each. And if there are three people, you'll have approximately 3 minutes each. And the questions will be in the chat, but this is what we're going to consider together. Share an experience you've had of fulfillment. Were you longing for something? How were you fulfilled and how did it feel? Take us away, Jim. Okay, it looks like everybody's back. I hope that was as powerful for you as it was for me. I got to be with Samuel and Sarah. We had a wonderful experience. So we're going to go into listing pairs, quote unquote, again, with two to three people. And again, the same timing. If you have three people, it'll be about 3 minutes each. If you have two people, it'll be about 4 minutes each. And we're going to consider, what are you longing for now? How might you experience fulfillment in this? And what would be different? So take it away, Jim. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think we're all here. So the next thing we're going to do is to have a dialogue, all of us together. And there are two questions I'm going to ask. I think I'll just start with one question. And, you know, we can consider this question together, and then I'll kind of watch the time and introduce another question. What are some of the factors that create the experience of fulfillment? As you've been considering longing and fulfillment in various ways tonight, and just for yourself, what do you think are some of the factors that create the experience of fulfillment? Let's just do our best to not talk over each other and to be succinct so that everybody has a chance to share.
For me, one of the factors that's important is to acknowledge fulfillment when it's present. A lot of times I have a desire or a longing and it gets fulfilled and I'm already on to the next desire before I even acknowledge that, oh, what just happened? Huh? And taking it in, you know, that keeps me in a state of desire and longing without getting the benefit of the fulfillment piece.
I think fulfillment starts in the moment. It's creating the future. We have a longing of the heart to have something come forth, but it starts right here. It starts in the present moment, and sharing your love of what you want to create, or sharing the love of being in the moment, does create the path towards the fulfillment. Thank you.
For me, I just wanted to say that fulfillment comes when you are sharing your gifts with others so that they too can sense the power of love that you are blessing. And in that atmosphere, you are fulfilled because you're providing something. You give and you receive. And so I think when we share love, when we allow our gifts, kindness, wholesomeness, appreciation, are poured forth, fulfillment comes back to us.
Sure if this is the right answer or not, but what for me, it comes in the form of like a little wiggle, dance, and song sometimes. And sometimes it's silent and still and stoic, and sometimes I can't even contain the level of joy that's inside of me to be able to be immersed in that sensation of fulfillment. It just has to come out of my movement and my sounds and the pulling of my spirit to experience more of it somehow. And sometimes it's quiet, but sometimes it's elated.
Well, that's definitely it. I'm thinking of the experience of being selfless and just pouring out a blessing and being open-hearted to other people in a very creative way. And the reciprocity that comes with not taking it anything that's creative personally, but offering it up in the process.
Yeah, Bob and Rachel, that's my experience too. And how I would verbalize it is that my fulfillment begins with me being a really good listener. Because when I hear your joy, nothing fulfills me more than to know that I could be part of the creative movement of a blessing in whatever way has brought joy into the equation. So, listening.
For me, fulfillment often comes on this wave of this impulse of creation, of bringing something into the world. And a big part of feeling that, letting that fulfillment move and happen, and that creative force to move through, is to surrender, is to, you know, not let the mind say this and this and this aren't more important, and then to let it surrender myself to it so that it can fully move. And that means continuing to be on my growth edge, like continuing to, you know, uncover and grow. Thank you.
Well, my partner started, and his first words were, "I am fulfilled." And even though later I talked about the thing that I was looking for fulfillment in, from the moment that he said, "I am fulfilled," the whole field shifted. And so even though I was looking at what I was looking for, or talking about what I was looking for, it had already shifted at a level just because of the way he said those words and filled that space for both of us. I really appreciate that.
Okay, next question. How can we assist others in experiencing fulfillment?
I'll chime in on this one because for me, it's when I'm so myself that, and I'm in the presence of others, that I can see fulfillment happening. And I'll just take a simple example of teaching people how to juggle. It's one of my favorite things to do in the world. Can't get enough of it. And I see people fulfilled in that. Yes, because of what they're doing, but there's an element of me bringing my authentic expression into the world that is a service. And for me, that's where I see people fulfilled in my world, is when I feel like I'm on point with my true creative expression and offerings. Yeah.
In one of my listening pairs, I was with Michelle, and he used two words together, which were collective fulfillment. And I've probably heard the phrase before, but somehow when he said it, it just rang so true that there is something to be fulfilled with other people. And that if I think about, well, I guess, you know, if I want to categorize things, I mean, there is some kind of personal fulfillment of just, you know, one's own individual experience, my own individual experience. But that very quickly goes to wanting to share with another person or a few other people. And then that goes to wanting to know something collectively, wanting to light it up with a group of people and then light up the world. So for me, to answer this question, so how do I assist the fulfillment of others? It is to create an experience of collective fulfillment. And there's a word that has been coming up for me this week, which is the power of evocation. I think that's a word. The ability to evoke. So it's an amazing power that we have that does relate to collective fulfillment, because we have the power to evoke something in a collective of people. What a magical power, you know? And when we find that in ourselves, that's a power to bring collective fulfillment and therefore the fulfillment of individuals who are participating in that.
Perhaps the collective fulfillment is, in effect, the experience of that longing, the longing that one has to allow that fulfillment in the people who happen to be present with one's self in the moment. And in that longing, the longing to find what would fulfill this person and this person and this person. And that longing fulfills itself.
So I think there's also a collective longing that we can tap into. And I think maybe we sometimes do that and don't know that we are. We're feeling something for ourselves, but we're feeling something for each other, feeling something for Sunrise Ranch. You know, I had that awakening today. There were things I was feeling that I wasn't just feeling for myself. I was feeling for us all. So there's a collective longing, I believe, and a collective fulfillment.
Okay, let's take one more. I think somebody else was trying to chime in a moment ago.
Hi, it's Tom, and it certainly ties in with what David's saying. I've sometimes had the feeling of really breaking through in prayer or really breaking through in an attunement, such that there's a vibrational shift. And the vibrational shift for me is very fulfilling. But then I find out, let's say I'm working with someone and our experience has been going rough. I didn't have to talk to them about it. There's a vibrational lifting in them the next time I see them. And so the fulfillment comes without interaction. It comes vibrationally. And I sometimes feel that, as David's saying, with the group. We're doing some inner work, or we're doing some praise, or we're doing some thankfulness. And lo and behold, there's unified radiation. So it comes in a number of ways, but they're vibrational for me, very deep. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you all. What a wonderful dialogue to share this. Hafiz said this, "I wish I could show you, when you are lonely or in darkness, the astonishing light of your own being." That's a gift we can give each other. So we're going to now see a video, which is based on a Rumi poem called One Whisper of the Beloved that Jim will put on for us. May we always remember, you guys, that it is our light that lights up the world, and it is our love that uplifts the family of humanity. Thank you so much for this special time together. I love you all.